My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this interesting passage from the Gospel, among other things, certainly gives us reason for confidence in what our Lord tells us. For who could possibly predict that the first fish fished out of the sea would have a coin in its mouth exactly worth the tax that they have to pay at the temple? It's obviously a great miracle, both of an extraordinary event, but also of our Lord's ability to foresee the future. And this gospel passage actually begins with the prediction of his passion and death and resurrection, which, of course, he's made reference to in other parts of the gospel when he says, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it again." The temple, the true temple of God, is then Jesus Christ, who is God among us. And this story here of this question of who has to pay the temple tax is again illuminating this point. The temple tax is not the same tax that the Romans were collecting and that the Jewish people resented, because you have this foreign power imposing a tax upon them. And so the tax collectors who worked for the Romans were looked down upon as sinners, whereas these tax collectors work for the temple of God. And so they're not collaborators with the enemy. They are upright citizens and patriots. Also, it's just to point out, again, the omniscience of Jesus, who knows before Peter can even tell him what happened. It says, "When he came into the house, before he had time to speak, Jesus asked him, 'What is your opinion, Simon?'" So Jesus already knew what had taken place and wants to query Peter to see how he understands things. And this question then makes a distinction between the sons of the king and the king's subjects. Or actually, it says subjects and foreigners. And it's the foreigners who have to pay the tax. The king doesn't take it from his own subjects, but from those who visit the realm. And so Jesus tells him, subjects are exempt. And of course, Jesus is the king himself, and why should he have to pay him a tax to himself? It doesn't make sense. But the Jews of the temple have not recognized him as the king. And so there's this distinction between those who acknowledge him and those who do not. And those who acknowledge him are free. They're not obliged to these rules of the temple any longer, because they're following Christ, who is the king himself. But the Lord doesn't say, "So go back and tell them we don't owe them." He says, "That we may not offend them, go to the sea, drop in the hook, and get this fish, and pay the tax." Because until the right time, it serves Jesus' mission to be at peace with the temple, to draw in all of the sons of Israel that he can. After his death and resurrection, the temple, in fact, was destroyed, and the temple of Jerusalem, that is, and he himself then is recognized as the Messiah by those who are his subjects. Jesus is the pivotal figure who fulfills all of the scriptures and brought the new law. And we who belong to Jesus are no longer subject to the old law. He's given us every reason to have confidence that this is the right thing, and that he foretold everything. He had the power to foresee, the power to work miracles, and was raised from the dead. So, brothers and sisters, whenever the world would impose upon us obligations, we can follow them out of the spirit of evangelical peace and obedience to authority. But our true obedience is to Jesus, and our true destiny and reward then will be to be heirs with Christ, who is the King. Let us ask the Blessed Virgin Mary to inspire us always to put Jesus first, to recognize in him the sovereign that we follow, and everyone else and every other institution is subject to him. Praise be Jesus and Mary.